This text from Isaiah is one of the lectionary passages for today. I did not especially choose it. And I say this for two reasons. One, it does have something to say to us in these days as a congregation. And two, for the following weeks in June, it will be preacher's choice. I will be setting the lectionary aside and you will be hearing sermons on some of my favorite passages, and we'll be singing some of my favorite hymns as well. So if you don't like them, just think, June 30th is right around the corner. But today's text is given to us by the Spirit that moves over the face of the lectionary. It is appropriate for us to hear this passage because it's about a turning point in the life of God's people. It starts out telling us King Uzziah has died. Now, if you don't know who King Uzziah is, that probably means nothing. But Uzziah was a good king until he wasn't. But during his 52-year reign, which in itself is extraordinary, 52 years in that time, but it was a very prosperous time for the people. So to note that it was the year he died meant that it was a significant time in the life of Judah. They were at a crossroads. Now, things were not good for the people of Judah in the sense that they had a strained relationship with God. Their religious practices were superficial, and injustice fed by greed was a common element of life. Enemies were knocking on their door, ready to overtake them. It was in this time that God called Isaiah to be a prophet, that is, to speak God's word to the people. Now, this was a turning point for Isaiah as well, because his life would never be the same again. For the word he brought was a word of judgment and warning to his neighbors. Yes, there was promise, but you have to get further along in the book to get that. But first, there would be exile and defeat because of their sinfulness. Now, being a prophet is not a career path most people would pursue. Generally, you are bringing unwanted news to an already disengaged people who will not listen to what you have to say. There's not great job satisfaction in being a prophet. And God told Isaiah from the beginning, the people will not listen to you. But we need to give them this chance to turn back to me. So Isaiah is sent out on a mission that is marked for failure from the beginning. But if they happen to listen, it could turn their future around. Thus is the grace of God. At first, standing in the presence of the holy in this vision in the temple, Isaiah immediately recognizes he is not worthy to stand in the presence of God. Because he is a sinful man and he is part of a sinful people. But God forgives his sins and clears the path for his service. And then Isaiah is not only ready, but willing. You know, God has a way of doing that because he also did it with Moses in the passage that Elaine read to us from Exodus. Moses, curious about this bush that is on fire but is not consumed, there's the first lesson, just ignore the bush. But he steps closer, only to find himself sucked into being a leading role in some crazy scheme of God to liberate the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt. Unlike Isaiah, Moses really, really did not want to take on the mission to Egypt. He kept coming up with one reason after another. In fact, he went on for two more chapters with his yes, but arguments with God. And with each one, God had an answer. God's primary response was, I will be with you, Moses. God had heard the cries and knew the misery of the people in Egypt. The time had come to free them, and Moses was the one God had chosen to do it. And God was not having it with Moses and his excuses. And he didn't try to coddle him, say, oh, no, 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 you'll be wonderful. You have so many gifts. No, he simply said, I'll be with you. Both Isaiah and Moses were reluctant to take on the roles God had for them. Yet in each case, God prepared them for the task to which they had been called. In each case, it was a critical time in the life of their people. God had a plan, and it included them, and God would not take no for an answer. Each of them would fulfill God's purpose for them with God's help every step of the way. Neither were perfect. Each made mistakes and misspoke at times. But in the end, they provided hope, freedom, and God's promises to their people, helping them to move forward into a new time in their life together. It happens this way, not because this is Moses' story or Isaiah's story, even though his name is on the book. It is God's story. It is God who will unfold events and equip the people. It is God's promises of a new day, whether in a new land or in the return to a homeland. Each one was called out of a time of great need for their people. Each found themselves at a crossroads, and each were initially reluctant to take on this task, thinking themselves unworthy, unequipped, unqualified for such a calling. I feel fairly certain that neither really wanted the work that had been set before them, and certainly would not have agreed had they known what lay ahead. For this was not a 3-year term of service and then out. For both Isaiah and Moses, it turned out to be a lifetime commitment filled with as many troubles as successes. When Isaiah asked, "How long do you want me to do this?" God essentially said, "Speak to those who refuse to listen until you're blue in the face, until you drop dead in your tracks. Do it until hell freezes over and the cows come home." For Moses, it would mean trekking with this whiny band of ingrates for 40 years. And upon reaching the edge of the promised land, being told, "You're not going in." Both had thankless careers and actually were much more revered in death than they were in life. And yet God was able to bring their people into a new time because of them. When I started this sermon, I said the passages today had something to say to us today as a congregation. For we too are at a crossroads. As I prepare to retire after nearly 10 years as your pastor and 40 years in ministry, Isaiah and Moses remind us that God is not finished with any of us yet. There is more of God's story with you and me to be lived and written. God has amazing things in store for Rio Rancho Presbyterian Church. Throughout our 38-year history, God has blessed us time and again, and we continue to be surprised every time it happens. You'd think by now we at least wouldn't be surprised. And there is no sign that any of that is going to stop now. But, you knew there had to be a but it is a time for you to be listening and looking around you. There may be no visions in this temple or burning bushes, but the call of Isaiah and Moses remind us that God will have a role for each of us to play, and all of us to play. I will have roles in my retirement and will be discerning that in the months ahead. Each of you will have roles as well. The good news is that none of these calls are for 40 years. Though at times it might feel like it. But there will be something for each of you, some task, some way to keep God's story moving forward in these days. As you know, in the coming months, there will come a time to serve, perhaps on a board as an elder or a deacon, or to serve on a committee that will coordinate the search for a pastor. Or any of our current committees that will be working even harder in this time. Now, it would be easy for you to say, cross your arms and say, "Nope, not me. Already been there, done that, have the t-shirt. Let somebody else." And you can find lots of excuses not to serve, not to step up. And I'll give you that some things could well not be your calling. But if you don't take time to prayerfully discern God's call for you, remember this is God's call, whether on these larger concerns or as part of the daily ministry of the church, don't think God is going to give up on you that easily. God argued with Moses for two more chapters. And then Moses did it. God followed the prophet Jonah. That's a whole nother story. But God followed the prophet Jonah over all over the place, dogging his steps every bit of the way until he did it. This is a time when your people need you to bring God's purposes into reality. So if you've been shying away, thinking maybe nobody will notice me if I look the other way or just kind of go into the dark corner, you are grossly underestimating the persistence of the creator of the universe. Neither Moses or Isaiah were seeking a task. They already had plenty to do. Their lives were very busy, thank you very much. They were both simply minding their own business, doing their jobs, when God came to them. So, you know, just because somebody happens in a human form to contact you about something does not mean that's not God. Now, we all know we're not fully equipped for what God has in store for us. We can relate to Isaiah and his sense of his own sinfulness, and Moses, who certainly knew his shortcomings and insecurities, because we have those too. But God doesn't just call people to be part of the story and then walk away. No, God equips and then walks alongside us as a constant guide and presence. Last Sunday, we celebrated the gift of the Holy Spirit given to each of us in our baptism. And talk about inclusion. Nobody's excluded in that. Everybody has received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and this gift is what makes it possible for us to serve God in whatever way God needs us to serve. So, believe it or not, this is not about us at all. It's not about how busy we are, or what you want to do, or whether you think you can do what God is calling you to do. It's about becoming part of God's story for the sake of God's people. You know, the thing about God's story is that it always involves everyone. So we all have some part in this unfolding of God's reign on earth. Isaiah and Moses, they had no idea the adventures they were in for when they stepped forward in faith. And yet, Isaiah boldly states, "Here am I, send me." May we follow in his footsteps. Amen.